to Hosea chapter 4, Old Testament minor prophet Hosea. Hosea chapter 4, if you'll turn there, we'll read a verse of scripture and depart from it, never to return. No, I was kidding. We'll try to get back to it. That is our text verse tonight, Hosea chapter 4. If you got Scofield Bibles on page 923, and if you don't, I have no idea what page it's on, okay? Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, if you will, I want you to look down at verse 6. Hosea is indicting the people of God with their sin, and he draws a specific accusation, makes a specific point in verse 6. The Bible said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." I want you to notice really the first part of that verse and draw your attention to it where it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now, there is a phrase in life that you often hear that it is not what you know, but who you know. Well, the Bible says it's what you know, all right? It's what you know, because you can't know the what and before you know the who. You got to know the what before you can know the who, all right? And so the Lord says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." If you were to go into the New Testament and study it out, six times in the New Testament, the Bible says something along this line, maybe not exactly these words, but something along these lines. It says, "I would not have you to be ignorant." I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, ignorant, we've got to understand something. Ignorant does not mean stupid. Okay? Big difference. Every one of us here are ignorant to some degree about something. Okay? Every one of us are ignorant to some degree about something. If you were to come to me and ask me to expound to you on nuclear physics, I would plead my ignorance. Don't know anything about that, all right? If you were to ask me, "Preacher, I'm having a little bit of trouble with my car, and I think a rod is knocking." I said, "What would you say?" And I'd say, "Well, answer the knock." Okay, because I'm ignorant when it comes to vehicles. I'm not a mechanic at all in any sense of the word. We're all ignorant somewhere, okay? But the Bible says, "I would not have you be ignorant." The interesting thing is every time it says it, it is always addressed to brethren. Brethren, okay? You said, "What are you getting at, preacher?" God's talking to his people. God's talking to his people. He's not talking to folks that are lost, people that have no knowledge of God, that are on their way to hell, but he's talking about two people that are born again, people like you and I. I look at folks tonight, as far as I know, the testimony of each and every one of you is, "Preacher, I've been saved. I know if I was to die, I'd go to heaven. I'm as sure of heaven as I am that I'm sitting here in the service tonight." Wonderful, what a blessing that is. But God says to you and I don't want you to be ignorant. Don't want you to be ignorant. He says here in our text, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Folks, I'm going to be honest with you, in the spiritual realm, maybe especially, maybe more so than any other realm, ignorance can definitely lead to destruction. You can be destroyed if you're ignorant about some spiritual things. Now, if that's the case, from the Word of God, we ought to arm ourselves with some knowledge. Now, I don't know how you feel. I'm a lover of knowledge. I like to know things. There was a youth worker years ago that had a fount of knowledge of worthless information. And he would always, I'd hear him speak, he'd speak to teenagers, and he'd say, "Do you know?" And he'd give them some fact, and it meant nothing. It was waste. That was true, but it was worthless fact, all right? It was an absolutely worthless fact. You know, one of those deals like, do you know you can't kiss your elbow? All right? Now, when you say that to a bunch of kids, they all start trying, okay? Every one of them, I mean, they pull it up, you know, and but you can't, all right? If you can, your arm's broken, all right? And that's why you have that intense pain, all right? But just, you know, useless information. But on the other hand, boy, there's knowledge, good things to know. That's the reason I used to love to read National Geographic. They would take all over the world, and I'd read those things and just kind of ate them up. And then I got tired of all the evolutionary garbage, and I said, I'm done. And but I like that knowledge. That's one reason I read a lot now, and just constantly, because I want to know something. And I surely want to know what God has to say. Want to know what he's got to say. So what is it, preacher, you think we ought to know? Number one, you ought to have a knowledge of God. You ought to have a knowledge of God. Now, the truth of the matter is, maybe all of us sitting here say, preacher, got that covered. Got that covered. I know about it. Well, wait a minute. Maybe if we took a test, you'd say, wait a minute, now you're talking about a test, I'm getting a little worried. But if we took a test, you might say, well, I'm not sure how I did. You ought to have a knowledge of God. Number one, most importantly, you need to know him as Savior. You need to know him as Savior. You need to know that you know that you know that you know you're born again. Boy, it's so important. So important that you know you've been born again. Not trusting what somebody else says. Not trusting mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa said, oh yeah, I was there when you got, I remember when you got saved and you baptized. No, not trusting them. You know it. You know it. Not based on somebody else's word, not somebody else's testimony, but you. Your own personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've said many times, you ought to be able to put your finger on the place and the day in your life when you got saved. Ought to be able to know that. It was interesting when I was talking to Brother Mudd's grandson. He came over, talked about being baptized, and I said, all right, that's good. I said, well, when did you get saved? And he said this. He said, man, well, I've always been saved. Well, immediately I said, he's not saved. But I didn't point the finger at him and said, you lying rascal. By the way, that's not the best way to do it, okay? But I just began to talk to him about salvation and what it means. But there's a lot of people today, if you would ask them, that's what they'd say. Well, I've always loved the Lord. I'm just, ever since I can remember, oh, wait a minute, that's not salvation. You need to know the day you got saved. And I tell people all the time, I do not remember the date. I do not know the date I got saved. But I can take you to the place. I could take you to the spot I got saved. The last I heard, the building's torn down. It's no longer there. But I believe I could get pretty close to the spot where I was. Even if that lot's empty, I believe I could get pretty close to the spot I was on that Sunday night in Tice, Florida, when I got saved. I know where it was. I know when it was. Just don't know the date. All right? But you ought to be able to do that. You ought to know him as Savior. Jesus Christ himself said, you must be born again. He said, preacher, why are you harping on that? You've already said you think we're saved. Yeah. But just that thought that maybe somebody's not. I've said it numerous times. I'd hate to think I stand and preach to people week after week and that person die and go to hell. Tell the kids at school, I'd hate to think you sit here day after day, week after week, we have scripture memory and we preach in chapel. And to think you'd come through our school and maybe spend years in our school and then die and go to hell. What a sad, sad disaster that would be. Be sure of that. Be sure you know him as Savior. Secondly, when it comes to knowing God, you need to know him not only as Savior, but know him as Lord. Now, I know there's people that say, well, you can't be saved if you don't know him as Lord. Well, I disagree with them. Amen. I disagree with them. He can be your Savior, but that doesn't mean he's in control. But if you know him as Lord, then he's in control. He's in control. He's not the co-pilot. Somebody said, God's my co-pilot. Lord, no, I don't want him to be mine. I want him to be the pilot. I want him to be completely in control. I need to know him as Lord and know that he's the one that I've put in control. And Lord, you've got the preeminence. You've got the privilege of vetoing anything that I want to do and anything I might think about. Lord, if you want to veto it, you just veto it. That'll be all right. Be all right with me. Know him as Lord, all right? Know him as Lord. Thirdly, you need to know his laws. You need to know his laws. Now, we're not going to try to go through all of them, but I just mentioned one or two of them. Hey, one of them is the law of sowing and reaping. You ought to be familiar with that. You ought to be familiar. Tell you what, not only should you be familiar with it, you ought to have tried it out and proved it in your life. You should have proved it in your life. You should sow some things so you can reap the same thing. Okay? You'll try it out. You'll try it out. The law of sowing and reaping is true. You're going to reap what you sow, so if you sow what you want to reap, things work out better, all right? Things work out better. You ought to know that law. You ought to know the law of giving and receiving. They kind of go, giving and receiving kind of go hand in hand with sowing and reaping, to be honest with you. Maybe two sides of the same coin even, but we ought to know that. We know what it is. Now, I know every time a preacher says giving, you go, it's money again. No. Just giving. Giving, period. Giving yourself. Giving your love. Somebody said, well, nobody loves me. Well, who do you love? Who do you love? We're usually more interested in, we just passed through Valentine's Day. You say, well, you know, you better show up with something. What? What'd you give? What'd you get? I gave the same thing I expected to get on Valentine's Day. Gave exactly what I expected to get. And it came through. Perfect. 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 Hey, you ought to know that law of giving and receiving. You ought to know it. Hey, you ought to know the law of saving your life or losing your life. You ought to know that law. Take your Bible, Luke chapter 9, all right? Luke chapter 9, you say, why didn't you take the Bible and those other two? Because I beat you to death with giving and receiving and sowing and reaping, so we won't do it again tonight, all right? We'll move along. Luke chapter 9, though, look at verse 24. Boy, what a wonderful verse, how true it is and how simple it is. The Bible says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You got your life? Well, give it up. Lose it. And the Lord said, you'll save it. You'll save it. Now you want to lose it. Well, try to save it. Try to save it. Won't work. Won't work. Man, Lord, we ought not to be spending so much time saving lives and storing it up, but giving it. Giving it. You all have noticed that if you try to save time, it always slips through your fingers. I never have found a bag you can put it in that'll hold it. Doesn't matter what the bag's made out, if it's a jar or a pot or a pan, I don't care what I put it in, time slips out of it. But if you want to save your life, then lose it. Lose it for the cause of Christ. Lose it for Him. Give it up. Give it up. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to give it away. That's why we can stand here tonight and talk about people that died centuries ago, and we still recognize them, we still remember their name, we still honor their memory. Why? Because they decided to give their life up for God. They just decided to give it up for God. Some of them didn't live very long, but we still remember them. Books are written about them. You can find the books in the library. Not because they lived a long time, but they decided, if I'll give it, I'll save it. Now, some of you may say, well, I've already lived a long time. I guess I didn't live it. No, wait a minute. I didn't say that. Hey, sometimes you can live a long time serving God, and you give it up. But truthfully, when you give it up, you save it. Look in chapter 14 of Luke, would you? There's another law that's wonderful to know. Luke chapter 14, verse 11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I don't know how many preachers I've heard say about this. Hey, you need to learn the law that says the way up is down. The way up is down. Hey, we've got the idea, and we're taught in the world that if you want to get to the top, you step on everybody you can. You push yourself forward. You exalt yourself. You make sure you get your name in the paper. You make sure everything. Hey, wait a minute. The Bible says if you want to get up, boy, you learn to humble yourself. Matter of fact, the Bible goes on to say if you'll humble yourself, the Lord will exalt you in due time. In due time. He'll put your name up there where it needs to be when it's time. When it's time. Hey, listen, you need some knowledge. What do you need knowledge of? You need knowledge of God. You need to know Him. You need to know who He is. You need to know that He is your Savior. You know He is your Lord. You need to know His laws. You need to know how He operates in this world, okay? You need to have a knowledge of Him. Secondly, you need a knowledge of the devil. You need a knowledge of the devil. In any war, one of the most important things to know is to know your enemy. Know that enemy. I'll never forget years ago, don't remember the coach's name, to be honest with you. They wired up a football coach, a professional football coach, during a game, and it was so interesting to listen to him. And he said, all right, we're going to do this. And he said, you watch them. This is what they're going to do when we do this. And every time it worked just what he said. What he said. He said, now we're going to make it look like we're doing this and they're going to bite on it and we're going to do this instead. Happened just the way he said. Just the way he said. Why? He knew his enemy. He knew his enemy. He knew what they were going to do. In World War II, the Japanese knew that Admiral Halsey, above everything else, wanted to destroy the Japanese aircraft carriers. So they were able to bait him and pull him out of position and to the point, tempting him with their carriers to the point that the Japanese could have come very close to destroying the landing of the troops in the invasion of the Philippines. Why? Because they knew their enemy. They knew their enemy. Listen to me. You and I have an enemy. Now, it's not the person sitting ahead of you. It's not the person sitting in the back of the auditorium. It's not your spouse. We have an enemy. The Bible said your adversary, the devil. The devil. We've got an adversary. If you want to be able to defeat him, you need to know him. You need to know him. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of his devices. Now, that's what the Bible says, but far too many Christians in our day sure seem to be ignorant of those devices. Just have the idea, well, it doesn't matter, I can do this or that, it won't happen, it won't happen to me, it won't hurt me. Listen, you don't need to be ignorant of what the devil's going to do. We can pretty well sum it up, all right? I'm just going to give you five things about him that you never, never, never need to lose track of. Number one, he's a liar. He is a liar. And when he comes, when that temptation, you can count on it, he is lying. Now, he's not coming in the red flannel underwear, okay? Not at all. But that one he sends is going to lie. He's going to lie to you. You can count on it. It started yonder in the Garden of Eden when he told Eve and he said, you shall not surely die. Boy, the first thing happened, she died. She died. Not physically, but spiritually. She died, all right? She died. Hey, why? He's a liar. Don't you get suspicious? Don't you get suspicious of somebody that every time they tell you something and it turns out to be wrong, don't you pretty soon get the idea? This rascal's not telling me the truth. I mean, how long does it have to happen? How long do you have to be lied to before you find out you've been lied to? There you go, right? There you go. I learned a long time ago, and I really, sad thing, but the truth of the matter is every politician you listen to, promise, 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 get elected and forget everything they promised. Just forget seemingly almost everything they promised. It is such a rare, refreshing thing when a politician actually goes to Austin, or the city hall, or Washington, D.C., and does what they say they'll do. Does what they promise they would do, all right? Because he's a liar. The devil's that way. The devil will come over here to Brother Marshall and give him one line, but he'll come over here to Brother Leeper and give him an exact opposite line, but it's okay because he's lying both times. He's a liar. He's a liar. Not only that, but he's a deceiver. You say, what's the difference? A liar just comes out with it. Deception is a different thing, all right? Deception is a different thing. Almost sleight of hand to fool you into thinking something's true that is not true. To make you think something will happen that's not going to happen. And it's deceptive. That is what he is. He is a specialist in that, all right? A deceiver. Deceiver. And he's good at it. Third thing you need to realize, he can transform himself into what he's not. He can transform himself into what he's not. When you hear somebody say, man, I saw an angel, don't count on it. Well, there was this bright light and all that. Wait a minute, don't count on that being an angel. Don't count on that being an angel. You say, well, how in the world am I going to know? Well, this book. When they start, you know, when that whatever starts speaking, check out what they're claiming against what the Bible says, because God never works in opposition to his word. Never does it, never has, never will, all right? So the devil transforms himself into what he's not. Don't be deceived just because somebody came and said, I know I saw an angel. Why? Well, there was a glow about them. They could have just run by the, you know, radioactive waste guard. I don't know. But don't get deceived just because of that aspect, okay? Hey, he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He can transform himself into what he's not. And boy, mark it down. He is powerful. Powerful. You know, there have been times in my life, you know, that I didn't think it'd be a big thing to take a particular individual on in a fight. I'd be willing to fight any of you in here that are under 3 feet tall. Just wouldn't worry about it. I know I've got a few years on me, but if you're under 3 feet, I believe I can take you. Now, all right, you hear me. It's almost, it seems to be the attitude a lot of people have towards the devil. Because we think we can play with temptation. We think we can handle him in combat. Listen, I'm never going to say to the devil, bring it on. Not on your life. He said, well, why not? You see what happened to Job? See what happened? See what Job went through? See what happened to him? Listen, don't you ever lose sight of the fact that the devil is extremely powerful. He is able to perform what we often refer to as miracles. We get the idea, well, if it's a miracle, God did it. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. We need to be careful. He's powerful. The last thing I want to mention to you, he's experienced. He's experienced. Now, I don't know how many sitting here. There's not many of you sitting here who had over 80 years of experience. Nobody here's had over 90 years of experience, right? Nobody here over 90 years of experience? Those of you that had 80 years of experience, some of that you don't remember it anymore, all right? And those are gone. Well, I did go through it, but I don't remember it, all right? Now hear me, okay? Hear me, here's where I'm going with this. We get this idea, well, I can take him on. Listen, you don't have anywhere near the experience he's had. He is a specialist in dealing with people. Specialist. Some of you know that my mom, the last year or so of her life, fell victim to a scammer over the phone. And I'm not going to go into all of the detail of it, but because of that, my brother and I had to take the checkbook away and say, we'll handle your finances. We'll pay your bills. We'll see to it you're taken care of. Because she listened. But I want to tell you something. I was there one day when that rascal called, and I picked up the other phone and listened. Can I say this to you? The man knew what he was doing. The man knew what he was doing. He was a tricky rascal. You could tell he was experienced in what he'd done. This was not the first person he had ever talked to. And man, I just say to you and to myself tonight, you cannot ever let down your guard around Satan because he's experienced. Oh, well, he's never had anybody like me. Yeah, well, you can say that and pat yourself on the back, but you may be picking yourself up out of the ditch because he's experienced. He's experienced. Look, if you're going to be a success in this world, especially for a child of God, you need to have a knowledge of God, but you also need to know the devil. You need to know your enemy. You need to know him, all right? You need to know him. The Bible said, my people are destroyed for an act of knowledge. The third, what you need to know is you need to know you. You. Years ago, one of the famous philosophers said, know thyself. I don't remember what his name was, as one of them. And for once, one of them got something right. You do need to know yourself. Know yourself. I'm going to save that. I started to say this last point first, but I'll save it to last. Number one, you need to know that you're still living in a body of flesh. You're still living in a body of flesh. All right? That means you're still susceptible to temptation. I don't care how long you've lived for God. I don't care how long you've lived a godly life. I don't care how long you've served God. You still live in a body of flesh. You still are susceptible to temptation. That body, that flesh, has some cravings. Has some cravings. My wife left the house this afternoon to go check on her mom, and I got up and ate me a chocolate bar. A little one. And I thought, have mercy, that's good. So I ate a little more. But I quit then, all right? Just a little more. But I want to tell you this, I didn't want to quit. You know, those Hershey bars, they've got those, what, there are three, 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 and three. There's, what, 12 pieces, you know, how it's cut up and you can break it up. Well, I ate three of the pieces. I want you to know, my body said, go ahead and eat the rest. My flesh said, whoo, that's good. Put it in there some more. Hey, wait a minute. That's the way our body is with sin. This old flesh still likes to sin. You and I need to realize we are not immune to temptation. There is no inoculation. There is no vaccination that'll keep you from sin. It will not happen. It cannot happen. You need to know that you're still living in a body of flesh. Need to know that. Number two, you need to know your weakness. You need to know your weaknesses. You said, why you put it that way? Because everybody doesn't have the same weakness. Everybody doesn't have the same weakness. There may be somebody sitting in here tonight, and the truth of the matter is, boy, you are drawn to the bottle and the booze, and if it turned you loose, it would get you, and boy, you'd be gone. All right? Why? You have that weakness. You have that weakness. You need to know your weakness. You need to know what it is. And it may be more than one, all right? There could be several areas that the devil really likes to nail you in, but you need to know that. And I hope you do know that. You need to make sure you acknowledge that fact. I have this weakness. I've already told you I have a weakness for chocolate, all right? I like it. It likes me. I have to be careful, man. Somebody said, I hear people say, who can't eat that? It's too sweet. I've never tasted anything that way. Ever. Never tasted anything too sweet. Ms. Brackeen used to make what you called a Mississippi mud cake, all right? And people say, oh, it's too sweet. I say, give me another piece. All right? Man, it's not too sweet. I like that stuff. I understand it, all right? But there's sin, too, that I have to deal with, and I know my weakness. You need to know it. You need to know what it is. Well, you need to know that point, all right? Need to know what it's where it's at. Need to know all about it and be prepared, all right? Third thing is you ought to know you need to be fed. Now, I'm not talking about physically. You need to know you need to be fed spiritually. We need to know it. You need it. You need it. Now, I don't ever remember in my lifetime, could have happened when I was an infant, I don't know. I don't ever remember anybody having to drag me to the table and say, you will eat. Don't ever remember that happening. Don't ever remember said, all right, hold him down, pry his jaws up, and we're shoving a spoon in. Nobody ever did that. Nobody did that. But boy, there's sometimes I don't want to eat spiritually. There have been times like that in my life. Hey, you know, you and I need to realize we need to be fed. We need that. It's so important, all right? You're a physical being, but you're also a spiritual being. And that spiritual being, it needs to be fed. Needs to get all the nourishment it can. That's the reason we have Sunday school. That's the reason we have Sunday morning service. That's the reason we have Sunday night service. That's the reason we have Wednesday night service, all right? That's the reason we tell you, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Why? You need to be fed. Need to be fed. If you do not eat, you will be weak. You'll get, the longer you go without eating, the weaker you'll get. The weaker you'll become. When you don't eat, for a long period of time, your body begins to devour itself. Now, I wish that it would automatically shift into fat-consuming overdrive. But it doesn't. But it doesn't. What it does, it'll consume the muscle. It's the muscle that gets eaten. Your muscle's more nutritious to your body than your fat is, okay? So you need to be aware of that. Hey, listen, you don't eat, you get weak. You're not fed spiritually, you're going to get weak spiritually. We look at somebody and we say, I don't know how in the world that Christian ever did what he or she did. You know what happened? They got weak. They let down their guard on their weakness. Okay? They weren't feeding themselves. When I've gone and visited people that were out of church and gotten away from the Lord, I've never been able to talk with one of them yet that say, well, preacher, it's okay, I read my Bible every day. I'm reading my Bible every day. They don't say that. Well, how much praying are you doing? Oh, I pray all the time. I'm constantly praying. Constantly praying. Now, I do have people that will tell me that, but they never say they're reading their Bible every day, all right? They're just, those two things don't happen. If they are, they get in the house of God. If they can be, they'll be there. They'll be there. There's just something about it, all right? So you need to know you need to be fed. The fourth thing you need to know about yourself, you need to know what motivates you and what cools you off. You need to know what motivates you. What flips your button that says, go after it, get it. But you also need to know what'll cool you down. What'll cool you down. You see, we need to constantly be aware of what it is that stirs us. Stirs us. I'll tell you one thing. Reading the Bible stirs my soul. I'll tell you something else. Listening to what I like in the way of good gospel music, and not watered down stuff, but I mean stuff's really got a message to it, you know, just fires me up. Just fires me up. I can be here. I mentioned this morning, we were singing Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. Now, I'll be honest, I'm sitting right there, but something began to happen inside me. Stirred my soul. Why? But that's something that motivates me. Those great old hymns, man, they say something to you. They've got a message to you about the Lord. You need to know what it is that fires you up. You say, why do I need to know that? Because every now and then you may need to fire yourself up, okay? Just may need to do that. Ought to be there. Same token, know what cools you off. Stay away from that. Stay away from that. It'll take you away from the will of God. Stay away from that. The last thing about yourself, this thing I nearly mentioned first, know to be honest with yourself. Honest with yourself. It's so tricky sometimes to be honest with yourself. To just admit it. Okay? Now, we may deny it to each other. But when you're alone, or look in that mirror, you need to be honest. You know, I said, know that you're still living in a body of flesh, still susceptible to temptation, not immune to it. You need to be honest with yourself about that. You need to realize, yep, that's true. That's true. A lot of it, we deny everything. You know, people like to say, well, they're in denial. Now, we deny a lot of things, but you need to be honest with yourself. You need to be honest about yourself, honest about your weakness, honest about how much you fed on yourself, honest about what motivates you. You need to be honest about it, all right? Because if you're not honest about it, then it doesn't matter what happens. You may still wind up destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, maybe not because you didn't know it, because you didn't honestly admit it. You need to be honest. Fourth thing, you need to know the Lord. You need to know Him. You need to know your enemy. You need to know the devil. You need to have a knowledge of yourself. Number four, you need to know where wisdom and knowledge come from. You need to know where they come from. The Bible says wisdom comes from God. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. That's where it comes from. Wisdom. Knowledge. One of the most aggravating things about teaching school is trying to teach somebody who doesn't want to learn anything. Now, usually it doesn't happen in the first grade. I don't ever remember a first grader saying, how come I got to know what that letter is? Never had a first grader ask that question. But I've had kids in the 9th or 10th grade say, how come I got to know what an equation is? I'll never use this as long as I live. I got tickled. I'll never forget Brother Charles's brother, Donald, the youngest brother. Yeah, I had him in school. He graduated from our Christian school, and remember teaching him, and he probably made that statement a time or two. And then I remember him calling me on the phone. He said, Brother Marlon, I got a math problem I need a little help with. I said, no, you are never going to need that, remember? Never going to need that. Don't call me now, bud. I tried to teach you. All right? And I've always told kids, you don't know what you're going to need, so don't go around saying you don't know where you're going to be 10 years from now or 5 years from now. You don't know what you're going to need to know. Just learn it. I tell people, say, why do I need to learn this? I said, so you can win on Jeopardy. You ever get on there? Doesn't hurt, all right? Just learn it. Hey, wisdom comes from God. It's a lot easier to get knowledge if you've got wisdom. You have wisdom. You need to know it. And the Bible says this, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We ought to have a fear of God. Why? Because help you to know. Help you to be aware. We need to know that. That's the beginning of wisdom. Some people never get past the beginning because they never learned they ought to fear God. They think, well, I can shake my fist in the face of God. I dare him to do anything. He's never done anything. I've done that. There was a guy named Robert Ingersoll that was a famous atheist in the early 20th century, very early 20th century. And he would tour the country and fill halls and spouting his atheism and saying things like this. You know, if there's a God in heaven, I'd dare him to just strike me dead right now. God didn't. But that didn't prove there wasn't a God. That just proved God's God of mercy. He's long-suffering to us. Long-suffering. Hey, the fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. The beginning. Oh, man, we need to have that. We need to know where it comes from. God enables us to learn. I believe this, if you'd give yourself to God, you may not have the world's greatest IQ, but if you'd seek it from God and ask God for help, I believe he'd help you to learn. I just believe that, man. I believe he'd do his part for you, okay? Number five, we're going to finish tonight. You need to know we are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the thing we don't know is we don't know His book. We don't know His book. Can I just say this? First of all, you need to know the one He has used. You need to know the one God's used. There's a plethora of Bible versions. I mean, you go to a bookstore, a Christian bookstore, and man, it just Heinz 57 variety. There's just a multitude of them. There's alphabet soup, man, NIV, the ESV, the ASV, the NASV, the NIV, and, you know, and just go on and on and on, and there's just so many of them. You say, well, preacher, which one's God used? He's used the King James Bible. That's the one He's used. That's the one that brought about the greatest revival that man's ever seen. It's the one that still produces results, all right? And I know, man, I got kinfolks that mock me because I still believe this old King James Bible. And you say, well, how does that make you feel? I'm worried about them. I'm worried about them. I'm worried about them. I'm like a fellow I heard one time. He said, if I'm wrong about the King James Bible and I get to heaven and the Lord wants to whoop my britches, I'm going to say, go ahead, Lord. He said, but I don't think there's going to be a problem with somebody saying, I just happen to believe that's the Word of God. I believe that's the Word of God. Absolutely. Hey, you need to know the one that He has used, and you need to know that you ought to study it. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, that doesn't mean He wants you to go out at night on a clear night, lay in your yard and study the stars. He wants you to do that. That doesn't mean that He wants you to get the Morning Star Telegram and go through it thoroughly. I'm not against you reading the Star Telegram. But that's not what the Bible's telling you to study. What He's telling us to study is study this book right here. Study this book. We need to know it. We need to know it. The reason cults have the success they do, because people who have been saved do not know the book. They don't know the Bible. And they've not put any effort into learning it. It is amazing how they seem to be drawn to the new Christian. Drawn to that new Christian. I've said many times, boy, down through the years of being in church and watching people, I don't know how many times I've seen, here's a man, his wife, man, they've just been living in the world. Not necessarily wicked, vile people, but they were sinners and they needed to get saved. And they got saved and their life began to change and they began to come to church. And all of a sudden their kinfolk said, you need to come with me. Hey, but wait a minute, he was going to hell before and you never did anything to keep him out of hell. Good grief. I talked to folks, the folks that I've been able to lead to the Lord and take the Bible, and they credit me, and they said, you were the one. You came and you brought the truth, and I got saved. And I said, yeah, and you're still going to that church that was letting you go to hell. They were letting you go to hell. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. You need to know the book. You need to know, I need to study this book. I need to get into it. Get into it. Every time I read it, there's something there for me. Every time I read it. Now, it's not always, wow, I never saw that before. But man, there's a lot of times that's, wow, I never saw that before. But man, there's a lot of times it's just, yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Well, what a great truth that is. Know this book. Know this book. You can never know too much of it. Never know too much of it. I just get a hold of it. And I've said it before. I'm convinced you can get a Bible college education in Sunday school and church if you'll come. And you'll pay attention. You'll listen. You'll learn. If you want to speed up the process, start teaching Sunday school. Because you have to learn then, all right? You just show up one Sunday with that class of junior boys. and not have a lesson ready? That'll cure you for ever doing that again. Man, that'll be the longest 30, 45 minutes to an hour you ever spent in your life. You'll think that time will never end, okay? But it just seemed like it won't. Hey, study. Study. Would you go back to Hosea chapter 4? Hosea chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says. My people, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But it goes worse. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. Rejected knowledge. Preacher, that may be what the Bible says, but I'm not going to do it. Look out. Destruction's coming. Destruction's coming. Why? You rejected knowledge. You rejected that knowledge. That's why I said you need to be honest about yourself. Don't reject the truth. Now, when I say you need to be honest, can I say this to you? That doesn't mean you have to go through life telling everybody all your faults, failures, and weaknesses. I would strongly urge you not to do that. Just don't do that. Man, I hear people tell all the family secrets. It's kind of like reminds me of dealing with kids in school. Sorry, ladies, mostly girls. Man, they got a best friend. And they got this best friend, and all of a sudden there is an eruption, and it's not a physical fight, but it is words flying back and forth. You drag them into the office and say, what's going on? Well, they told so-and-so this about me. I said, well, how did they know that? Well, I told them, but I didn't think they would ever tell it to anybody. They were my best friend. Listen. The best friend you've got seated at the right hand of the Father. There's some things you need to be honest with yourself. Man, that doesn't mean you have to go down the road telling everybody all things you've ever done, okay? You want to drive down the road, with a bumper sticker on your car in bold print. I am a liar. I'd strongly urge you not to do it, even if you are a liar. I would work on my lying problem and try to get it right, but I wouldn't advertise it. Not asking you to do that. I said you be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Need to be honest with God, too. Need to be honest with God. Then He can do something for you. He can do something. The Bible said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hey, is there an area in your life that the knowledge is not what it needs to be? Is an area that needs to be worked on? Well, let me encourage you to go to work on it, all right? Go to work on it. Don't just let it sit that way. Well, preacher, I'm older now, and I don't think it really matters. Well, it does. It does. It does. I'm never content. Never content. Somebody asked me a question. I don't ever tell them, well, I don't know, and I'm not going to look for the answer. I don't want to know. Man, if it's something important, I'd like to find it out. I want to know. Listen, is there an area that needs to be worked on in your life? Maybe you need to come tonight, and you need to do business with God. You need to ask Him for His help. Whatever the need. Maybe you just need to come spend some time with the Lord tonight. It could be something God's been dealing with you about. That wasn't mentioned tonight in the message. It wasn't mentioned this morning in the message. But God's been dealing with you. Boy, come use the altar. Just get with God, all right? You say, well, I can do it at home. Yeah, but it helps you to humble yourself. Remember what I said? If you'll humble yourself, God will exalt you in due time. Well, everybody's going to wonder, who cares? Who cares? Let them wonder. Just do business with God if you need to. Would you stand with every head bowed and every eye closed? Heavenly Father,